We are in a series called The Invitation of Christmas. We have talked about hope. Unfortunately, last week I was under the weather, to say the least, and so we did not get to talk about peace. If you really want to hear that sermon, you can come by on Christmas Day to our house, and I would be happy to preach that sermon in my living room for all those in attendance. Just RSVP, all right? I'll be waiting for those RSVPs. All right, so today we're going to talk about the invitation of joy. If you haven't done so already, please grab a Bible, open up to Luke chapter 1. That is where we're going to spend our time together this morning. But before we actually get into the text, a little bit of fun together, some interaction. So I want you guys to fill in the blank, all right? Tis the season for
football.
All right, not usually more with Thanksgiving, but all right, we're into the playoffs, into the NFL season. Tis the season for giving. Family. Love. Presents. Cookies. Plenty of snow. Turkey. Paid time off from work. All right, anything else? Tis the season for joy. Hibernating. Long winter nap. All right, anything else? No, it's not tis the season for warm weather. That's wishful thinking. Oh, down south, yes. If you want to move down south amongst the palm trees, yes, you can have warmer weather. Anything else? Tis the season for shopping, Jesus. Waking up, all right? There's lots of answers that we could fill in there. Some of them you've already given, shopping, family, parties. We're going to have one in just a few moments to celebrate the season. Sometimes it's a season of stress, of grief. Sometimes it's not always about the positive things that are going on. For some, it is a season of anxiety, of worry. And I want to say this out loud because I think it's important. Christmas can be beautiful and brutal, and sometimes in the same week, or sometimes even in the same day. And if you're feeling that, you're not crazy. Sometimes the holidays are not full of joy and gladness and happiness and smiles. We would like them to be, but sometimes reality is quite different. So, thank you for playing. Tis the season for, you filled in the blank wonderfully, but I've got one more. Tis the season for earworms. Not literal worms. You know what I mean, those songs that get stuck in your head and refuse to leave. You didn't invite them. They did not ask permission. You're just trying to buy milk at Meijer, and you hear a song that's playing over the loudspeaker, and suddenly it's living in your brain rent-free. You wake up with it. You hum it in the car. You catch yourself singing it while you're making coffee. It happens to me all the time. My kids get off the bus. They are singing a Christmas jingle. The one that is most popular right now, which I thought was long dead and gone, is the Jingle Bell version that includes Batman, Robin, and the fact that Joker gets away. That has been living in my head quite frequently. But here's the reason I'm starting here with earworms. Because what you sing on repeat shapes you. What you sing on repeat shapes you. The lyrics you replay form you. The story you keep telling yourself becomes the world you live in. So, here's my Christmas question. What if the song that got stuck in us this season wasn't a jingle, wasn't Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, or White Christmas, or Jingle Bells, or any of the other Christmas classics? What if it was the gospel? A song that proclaims and announces the good news of the gospel of Jesus. What if that song looped through our minds and it wasn't just about nostalgia, but it made us brave? Because in Luke chapter 1, right near the beginning of the Christmas story, God gives the world a song. And it is a song that is based on the joy of the coming Messiah. But it's not soft. It is a joy with teeth. It is a joy that tells the truth. It is a joy that announces a new world. And so as we're in this series called The Invitation of Christmas, it's not just information we learn. It's not just a nativity scene that we admire. Christmas is God interrupting ordinary lives with a holy invitation. And when we look at this specific theme, the invitation to joy, Mary teaches us what joy really is. It's not manufactured cheer. It's not denial. It's not just positive thinking. Joy comes from the nearness of God, from the faithfulness of God and the promise of God and the upside-down kingdom of God. Now, Abby did a great job reading for us the story of Mary learning that she is with child in Luke chapter 1, the visit that she gets from Gabriel and her rushing over to her cousin's house to share the news about what she has learned. And Mary, as she is presenting this question, something happens. Well, as Elizabeth asks the question, not Mary. Elizabeth asks the question, why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? And in response to that question, Mary sings a Christmas song. Listen to the lyrics of this song, chapter 1. And in verse 46, Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation, to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he made his promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his children forever." Now, that is a gospel song. It is a Christmas song. But let's back up. Before we look at the details of that song, let's look at the story. Mary's yes and the birth of a song. Early in the chapter, before Mary sings, Gabriel burst into her life, unannounced, unexpected, and delivers heavy news to an impoverished, betrothed teenager. That right there is already part of the Christmas invitation. See, God does not wait until your life is stable. God does not wait until you have a 5-year plan. God does not wait until you have enough money, enough confidence, enough emotional energy, enough approval from the right people. He just shows up. And God calls. And Mary does not respond with a casual little, sure, that sounds good. She doesn't respond with a hesitant okay. Mary responds with her whole life. She says, "Here I am. Let it be to me according to your word." I want you to feel the weight of that. Because we have a way of romanticizing Mary. But if we slow down and we look at the picture, it's actually quite terrifying what's happening in her life. For one, she's young. She's poor. She's engaged, but she's not married. And now she's pregnant. And it's not going to be easy to explain. And people are not going to take well to the news. And people are not going to be kind. And there's no guarantee that this ends with a Hallmark ending. And yet Mary says yes anyway. Not because she understands everything, but because she trusts the one who is calling her. And this is the first piece of joy in this story. Joy is not pretending. You are not afraid. Joy is saying yes to God even when you are afraid. Joy is surrender that refuses to let fear have the final word. That's what joy looks like for Mary. Then Mary does something that we can't miss, that we can miss if we're not paying attention. She runs. Now, why does she run? She runs to Elizabeth's house. Why? Well, because joy like this does not want to be alone. Because the invitation of Christmas was never meant to be received in isolation. Some songs sound beautiful as a solo, but some songs are meant to be sung with a choir. And I'm not talking about performance, I'm talking about passion. I'm talking about the kind of shared faith where you don't have to be have perfect pitch, you don't have to read music, you don't have to feel polished, but you do need people. You need somebody who will look at you and say, God is with you. You need someone who will name what God is doing in you when you are still trying to believe it yourself. And that's what Elizabeth does. Before Mary can even get the full greeting out, John leaps inside of Elizabeth. And Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you." And then she asks one question and it cracks the whole thing open. "How have I been visited by the mother of the Lord?" And that moment, Elizabeth names it, Mary burst out. She breaks out into song. And that is the second piece of joy. Joy is what happens when faith finally has language. Joy is what happens when someone else sees the grace on your life and helps you say it out loud, say out loud what has been building up inside of you. So Mary bursts out into this song, and it's not random. It's old lyrics to a new tune. It's Hannah's song from 1 Samuel, longing and waiting. It's the ache of the women of Israel who have felt unseen and unheard and forgotten, and yet God kept noticing them. God kept visiting them and bringing life out of barren places. This song is as if Mary is pulling the whole story of God into her mouth and singing it like it is happening again, because it does. And this joy that Mary has, it's joy with teeth. Notice what the song actually says. Because it's a gospel song, but if we don't read it carefully, it doesn't sound like the gospel that I grew up with. It doesn't sound like the gospel that I heard in churches growing up. For me, the gospel was that I needed some way to secure a good place to go to when I leave this world. The gospel that Mary sings about is what God is doing in this world right now. Not where I get to go when I leave this world, but what is God doing in this world now? So listen to Mary's joy. Listen to what her joy and her gospel sounds like. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And then Mary gets specific. God has looked on the humble. God has shown strength. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled hungry with good things. God has sent the rich away empty. It's not a tame joy. It's not the type of joy you hang on your Christmas tree as an ornament. This joy is not a mood. This joy is a proclamation. Mary is not singing, "Everything's fine." Mary is singing, "God is on the move, and the world is about to be turned right side up." This is why I keep calling it joy with teeth. Because Christmas joy is not just about a baby being born. Christmas joy is about the kingdom arriving. A kingdom where the lowly are lifted. A kingdom where the hungry are fed. A kingdom where pride gets exposed. A kingdom where oppressive power does not get the final word. And Mary is singing it before Jesus ever preached a sermon. He sings it before Jesus ever heals a leper, before he feeds the crowd, before he has carried the cross. She sings it because she knows the character of God. She knows the promises of God. And she knows that when God begins something, he will finish it. This is the song, the gospel song, the Christmas song that Mary sings when she finds out that she is going to give birth to the Messiah, to the King of Israel, to the King of all the nations. And I wish it was a song that never ended. You remember that song? This is the song that what? Never ends. It goes on and on, my friends. You know the history of that song, where it came from? Yeah. Lamb Chop. I was not expecting anybody to know that. Well done. I might say, well, I was shocked. I had to look it up. Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop. At the end, they would sing that little song. This is a song that never ends. It just goes on and on, my friends. What was the point of singing that song? To annoy the parents? No, it was about participation. All right? Not passive observance. The show was designed so kids would play along, join in, become active. And in hindsight, it was genius because the song would get stuck in your head and you would sing it in the car, you would sing it at the table, you would sing it to annoy everyone within a 10-mile radius. It was an earworm. And here's the point, and it's not silly. If a goofy tune can get stuck in us and spell out of us, how much more can a gospel song get stuck in us and shape us? Because lyrics don't just entertain. Lyrics train us. Lyrics teach us. Lyrics form imagination. Lyrics tell us who we are and what matters and what kind of world we should expect. So here is my question that I want to put in your lap. What would it look like if Mary's song became the song that never ends in our church? What if the song of the, it's called the Song of the Magnificent in Luke chapter 1. What if it became the song that never ends in our church? Not as a performance, but as formation. What would it look like if the lyrics that looped in our minds were not the lyrics of consumerism and anxiety and outrage and protection, but the lyrics of the kingdom? My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away with empty hands. What would it look like if that joy got stuck in us? Because if it gets stuck in us, it will not leave us the same. That song, those lyrics, will change us. The invitation to joy. What is this invitation? What joy actually invites us into? Because Mary's joy is not an invitation to pretend the world is not broken. Mary's joy is not an invitation to participate. Mary's joy is an invitation to participate in God's healing for the world. You know, sometimes we sing a better song than we believe, a better gospel than we believe. We sang the song Emmanuel. Pay attention to the lyrics. May the whole earth be filled with what? Heaven's peace. There's the gospel. May the whole world be filled with heaven's peace. We've made joy too personal. It's a mood. It's an experience. Mary's joy is an invitation to participate in God's healing of the world. Mary's joy is not escapism, it's resistance. Mary's joy is worship that refuses to surrender the future to Pharaoh, to Herod, to Caesar, to any throne that is not the throne of God. And this is where I think the church in America can get confused. We have been trained to think joy is private, a personal feeling, a smile. Joy is me and Jesus. Mary blows all that up. For Mary, joy is communal. Mary's joy is public. Mary's joy has economic implications. Mary's joy has political implications. Because when God lifts the lowly, somebody who has been sitting on somebody's back is going to feel the ground shift under their feet. When God feeds the hungry, someone hoarding is going to get exposed. When God brings down the mighty, it is not because God hates people, it is because God hates oppression. And God loves the oppressed too much to leave the world like it is. Mary's song is not safe, but it is good. It is the goodness of God being sung into a world that has learned to expect and be comfortable with cruelty. And this is where the sermon matters. This is the invitation of joy. Because the invitation of Christmas is not merely feel better. The invitation of Christmas is come, join God's song. Come sing in a way that reorders your life. Come sing in a way that changes what you love. Come sing in a way that changes what you fear. Come sing in a way that changes what you do with your money, your time, your home, your schedule, your attention, your hands. Come sing in a way that makes you a different kind of neighbor. Come sing in a way that makes you a different kind of church. So how does Mary's song fit into your life? You've got to bring this down to street level. Because Mary is carrying Jesus in her womb. That's unique. That's holy ground. That's the incarnation. But Scripture also says something wild about us. That by the Spirit, Christ is formed in His people. That the image of God is alive in us. That we are the children of God. That God places purpose in ordinary bodies, ordinary lives, in ordinary homes, in ordinary schedules. So let me ask you. What are you carrying right now? What is God growing in you right now? What is being formed in you that has not been born into the world yet? Because some of you are carrying grief. And in that grief, God is growing compassion in you that will one day become shelter for somebody else. Some of you are carrying anger. And God is turning it into a clean kind of courage that will speak for people who have no voice. Some of you are carrying weariness. And God is shaping you into a tenderness that will become a safe place for somebody who has been bruised by life. Some of you are carrying a holy discontent and turning it into a calling. And the question is not, are you carrying something? The question is, will you sing? Will you let that song come out? Will you run to somebody like Mary did, not to show off, but because you need a choir? Because here's the truth. We don't experience freedom alone. We don't experience healing alone. We don't carry the kingdom alone. We do not sing the songs of the gospel alone. That is why Mary runs to Elizabeth, because joy is meant to be shared. Joy is to be reinforced. Joy is meant to become a communal rhythm that keeps us faithful when the world is loud. So, church, here's my refrain today. Let Mary's song get stuck in you. Let it be the earworm that follows you to work. Let it follow you into conflict. Let it follow you into your budget. Let it follow you into the grocery store. Let it follow you into the way that you talk to people. Let it follow you into the way and how you treat the poor. Let it follow you into how you treat strangers. Let it follow you until you're not just singing it, you're living it. Because Mary's joy is not just a feeling. Mary's joy is the sound of a new world that's making its way into ours now. So, you got to ask yourself a question. What do I do with all this? What do I do with Mary and her song? Well, we don't just admire Mary. We don't just quote Mary. We don't just decorate Mary. We join her. We sing along. We let the song form us into the kind of people who magnify the Lord with our lives. The kind of people who rejoice in God our Savior, not just for a few months, but with our hands. The kind of people who lift the lowly because God lifts the lowly. The kind of people who feed the hungry because God feeds the hungry. The kind of people who refuse to bow to the thrones of this world because we belong to a different kingdom. This is the invitation of Christmas. It's the invitation to joy. It's not soft joy. It's not pretended joy. It's joy with teeth. A joy that tells the truth. The joy that participates. So I wanted to sing Mary's song. I couldn't find a version that I really liked that was congregational friendly. One that used all the lyrics. It chose a lyric here, a lyric there. It didn't really tell the whole story. So here's what I've done. I found a video that sings the song. Here's what I'm asking you to do while it plays. I want you to listen. I want you to let it settle. If you're carrying joy today, let it deepen it. If you're carrying grief today, let it hold you. If you're carrying fear today, let it steady you. And if you are carrying a calling you do not yet understand, let it strengthen you. But here's what I don't want you to do. Don't rush past it. Let Mary's song get stuck in you.
Lifted the lowly. eyes filled, hungry with good things, the rich with nothing. Holy is his name. He has come to Israel to fulfill his promise. Those gone before us, the promise of grace.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we magnify you. Not because we are trying to hype ourselves up, but because you are faithful. You have not forgotten your world. Father, thank you for Mary, for her courage, for her surrender, and for her song. Thank you for a joy that is not fragile, a joy that does not depend on comfort, joy that can be sung in the shadow of empire, because it is anchored in your promise. Father, let this song form us. Where pride has infected us, humble us. Where fear has ruled us, Father, free us. Where comfort has made us numb, wake us up. Where we have ignored the lowly, give us eyes to see. Where we have walked past the hungry, give us hands that serve. Where we have hoarded, teach us generosity. Where we have been silent, teach us a holy courage. Make this church a choir, not of performance, but of participation. A people who do not just celebrate Christmas, but receive the invitation of Christmas. A people who do not just talk about joy, but live the kind of joy that lifts burdens and tells the truth and makes room for the poor and the hurting and the overlooked. So, Father, we offer you our yes again today. Let it be according to us. Let it be to us according to your word.